You're listening to DraftKings Network.
All right, everybody, Mother's Day is officially around the corner. If mom's gift isn't already on the way, you've got hours, maybe even minutes to get it together. So head over to 1-800-Flowers.com right this second. 1-800-Flowers still has great last-minute deals on handmade bouquets, sweet treats, gourmet food, and one-of-a-kind gifts ordered easily and delivered fresh. You want to get mom something that shows your appreciation for all that she's done? We know you've been a knucklehead. She knows you've been a knucklehead. Please do better. Help your mom feel appreciated this Mother's Day. This is your last chance to lock in these Mother's Day deals. Only good while supplies last. Order today at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan, D-A-N. That's 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey, please drink responsibly.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to the Big Suey, presented by DraftKings.
Why are you listening to this show?
The podcast that seems very similar to the other Dan Le Batard podcast.
I'm sorry, I'm not going to apologize for that.
In fact, the only difference seems to be this imaging.
I have been tempted in restaurants just walking past tables to grab somebody's fries that if they're just there. That hasn't happened to you guys?
I've done it.
And now, here's the marching man to nowhere, Fat Face, and the habitual liar.
Panthers get control. Here's Horton, gets to the red line, tips it over to the left side. McCabe's got a wide open net. Bingo! Empty net goal. Come with me if you want to live. McLean to the left side of Frolik. Drop the faceoff circle. Fires a try, shoots, he scores! Get off my lawn! Over the line on the right side. Stillman cross-ice pass to McCabe right on the front. He scores! Brian McCabe takes the feed from Corey Stillman. This game is tied up at one. I go to work like a doctor. Stillman again. Right on the front to Weiss. He pokes and he scores! Steven Weiss! I'm a lead farmer!
I have no idea what this is from, but I love it.
Well, I go to work like a doctor.
Is that Big Daddy Kane?
No, is that? I think that's Cool Moe.
Cool Moe D.
It's either one. It's one or the other. But yeah, I go to work like a doctor. Yeah, that might be Big Daddy Kane.
Cool Moe D.
Thank you.
Hip hop historian over here.
Well, I want to get to Jeremy in a second because Jeremy was an alleged journalist last night. Yeah. My thoughts exactly. Jeremy, who is an up-and-comer in the broadcasting game and is someone who has now journalistic credentials around literal credentials around the Heat and the Marlins. Yesterday he was hosting, and this is one of the great things, Stugatz, this time of year. We get it so infrequently around here in South Florida. But South Florida has always done this well. The rest of the country always makes fun of, you guys don't care about that sports that much. You're bandwagon people. All right. Many of us are. Not everyone is. The loyalists are super loyal. But Miami does the bandwagon better than anybody. Miami does everyone now show up for the party. And so you have, stunningly, a hockey arena in the Everglades. like surrounded by airboats and alligators, filled with people to do the wave, watching the game on television. And at the Heat, across the street from us last night, Jeremy Teche is watching the end of that game with a lot of people who are excited. And Stugatz, I'm getting a lot of this. Jimmy was out of bounds, and it ended up being a three. That was a goaltend ref culture win. Okay, whatever. Tell right. it to the people who were yelling and screaming around Jeremy.
Lifting How about this? 1-1, we're coming home.
Okay, I mean, who's we?
Yeah, I mean, I took the Heat in five. Anyone else?
He's right.
Mm-hmm. All right, the Knicks are watching this like everybody
two
else.
Rounds ago.
It was a long time ago, understandably. Mm-hmm. Here's Jeremy Teshay not being a journalist while covering, again, an arena filled with people, but no players or athletes were there.
You're catching us right now as the Miami Heat have just won game two of the NBA Finals. You can see that this crowd here is hoisting babies into the air. This crowd is ready from the moment this game started, and it has continued here as the Miami Heat have just upset the Denver Nuggets. We've got fans going crazy. We're high-fiving. Everybody's ready for an unbelievable night right here in Miami. The Kaseya Center was ready for a great night from the jump as this energy around the entire lower bowl was electric from the moment this game started until the moment it ended. As we pan out to the rest of the crowd, you can see the entire lower bowl going absolutely crazy to end this game. The Miami Heat have just won it as Jamal Murray's shot has not gone in. I cannot believe what I've witnessed around me. There were moments in the fourth quarter where I couldn't hear myself think. I don't even know if you can hear me on the microphone. What a night at the Kaseya Center as the Miami Heat take their first game, their first win in Denver. And I know that this crowd right here is ready for an unbelievable party Wednesday night, game three here in the Heat's house. Guys, we'll send it back to you in the studio.
Oh, my gosh. Jeremy Teshay doing that on one tank of oxygen.
Not a single breath taken. He was like one of those free divers that go down for 20 minutes at the bottom of the ocean. It was a record. And if you're listening just by audio and not watching, what you didn't see in that noise is there were 11 actual babies tossed in the air. Just infants.
Seems
that were
reckless.
It does. But, hey, it's game two.
Right.
Wait till game seven of this thing.
Right.
11 babies, a fetus.
It's not going seven. I said five. I mean,
that's right.
You did mention that.
Yeah.
The energy was actually insane. I don't remember any of that. I feel like I blacked out as that happened. It sounded like I was losing my voice. I wasn't losing my voice. I literally was just unhinged. I don't remember it. It was
okay.
Really amazing.
You blacked out. Excellent work by you blacking out as a impartial observer of games.
Well, you can't be impartial if you're holding a microphone that says Heat TV.
My job is sales
and
that
high-fiving.
You're emceeing. Yeah. Emceeing is really sales.
I'm there to make sure everybody's ready to be at games three and four. I'm there to make sure that everybody is ready to be at the road rally. Bally Sports, the heart of the fan.
Put it on the poll, please, Juju, at Lebatard Show. Would the Zeller minutes look the same if you replaced him with a newborn giraffe?
Or that newborn baby that was being hoisted into the air.
The giraffe would just be more distracting. I feel like we'd have more success.
No, Zeller's like, plenty distracting.
Porter
He's right
Jr.
now.
Would be like, why is
now,
there a giraffe
look,
on the court?
No. Listen to me. Zeller is a strong human being. He is a big human being. And when he starts bowling, balling around there.
I can't take my eyes off of him.
Well, no,
I
mean. Nobody can. Jokic, you're hoping to distract Jokic. It's dangerous. It's like having a wrecking ball just move through the court, but it's like on a hinge that's not safe. And it's just swinging through, and you got to be careful because every once in a while they'll put one in with an offensive rebound. But everyone be careful because it might fly into the stands. The Zeller minutes are amazing. Yeah. They're a joy to watch.
Oh. Ever since Tony pointed it out, those black shoes, they don't
it's
help.
The hair or lack of hair, too. It's kind of disturbing.
No, it's also the mask or just... Again, I've mentioned that it should be a retainer, a wire that runs outside of his mouth. It's just
like
all
ear to ear.
That could impale someone.
And if not for a Theragun, that could be Dwayne Dedman. Did that happen this year?
That was this year. That was a Theragun.
It's been a really
that
long
kid,
year.
No,
long
no way year. It was this
long
year.
Year.
Tony asked earlier what month it is. I don't know.
I want to, this is what Shea Serrano wrote about Zeller versus Jokic. He said, Zeller guarding Jokic is like a giant piece of meat wearing a suit made of meat. Trying to guard a lion. and every once in a while get you 4 points when you need to win by three, and all right, get out of Denver.
Three games from a title.
Get out of Denver with a game. You're dragging whatever's left of Lowry and Zeller.
Just as many baskets as Porter Jr. I'm telling you, that's the big disappointment in this series so far. And you look at their payroll.
It's true.
You know
it is true.
You know he makes as much money as Jokic and Murray. He makes over $30 million a year, Porter Jr.
He's going to start making some of those jumpers. He is not as bad as he has looked in this series. But what sense can you make of leading scorer for the Heat last night, Gabe Vincent? They win last night with Jimmy Butler being fine, okay, but not terribly efficient. But in the fourth quarter, Stugatz, when I tell you this, I haven't double-checked these numbers. But in that fourth quarter, according to John Schumann, the Heat had 189 points per 100 possessions. They had 36 points on 19 possessions.
That's incredible.
And
man,
it took all of it. They were making just about everything. They weren't turning the ball over. What they were doing, and this is what they do, Stugatz, it's the discipline of what they do. It's why Malone's not calling a timeout. He doesn't want Spoelstra to have time to set up a defense. He's saying, go, Murray, you've already made a couple of threes. I don't want to. I just go. You got it. I'd rather try it this way. I trust you. You've made a couple of threes. You're my best player. In that fourth quarter, what Miami does by not having any turnovers is just like, we're going to shoot free throws, we're going to shoot threes, and then we're going to get in our defense, and we're going to try and get our defense to carry us against an exceptional offense, but we're going to set up in our defense, and it won them the game. It stole them a game last night, playing discipline, not turning the ball over, and just being super careful and efficient. And they're able to win, Stugatz, because they shoot almost 50% from three, and they are able to overcome even the inefficiency of Jimmy Butler, because while Jimmy misses 12 shots, and that's not who he's been this postseason,
right,
Jimmy's only got one turnover, because they're not turning – they turned the ball over in the first half, and you saw how easy the offense came for Denver when Miami doesn't have time to set up. Everything after that needs to be earned by the MVP of the league.
He made some shots in the fourth quarter, had some nice assists in the fourth quarter, but Dan, just to – this kind of lends to how improbable this entire run has been, because this is courtesy of Tom Haberstroh. The Heat gave up a 40-14 run on the road in that game and still won game two. 40-14. A 40-14
run. Out there. Yes. It was a Denver's up by 15. Miami has been good coming back from 15. That series wouldn't have been over if Denver had won that game, or even if they'd stole it at the end, but it would have felt, Stugatz. Yes. National coverage would have been, oh, Denver's going to run away with it, because everyone is ready, understandably, to continue doubting everything the Heat are doing. You just can't doubt it anymore. Like, they may lose in five games because Jokic is the MVP and he's great, but you can't doubt it when Gabe Vincent is your leading scorer and he's handling the efficiencies for you when Jimmy Butler can't.
Danny, you talk about the Heat hitting their threes at a 50% clip. They've done it more so in these playoffs than the entire run of the Warriors the last 4 years when they won titles.
That can't be true. Wait.
They had more
slower.
They had more 50% shot from three games than the entire Warriors run.
They did it 8 times this season, and that sounds like too much. That I'd like to double check that stat and find out who gave us that stat.
Tom Haberstroh on the post game last night.
That sounds like too much. Sounds like that's not possible. The Heat have now done it. Is it now 7 times in this postseason? It was 4 against the Celtics, 2 against the Bucks, and now 1 against Denver.
It's 4 times over 50. I think you might be including games over 45% right. from 3. It's 4 times this postseason over 50. In fact, last night was not one of those. Right. Jimmy Butler's missed 3 at the end made it so that it wasn't one
49%,
of those games. But they've done it 4 times this postseason, and according to Tom Haberstroh, it only happened 4 times during the entire Warriors' run of their 4 championships. During those championship seasons, they did it 4 times combined.
I want to just talk for a second, okay? Because, man, this town, our show has been brutal to the mental health of whatever it must be to be Duncan Robinson in that furnace that is Heat basketball. Congratulations on the contract, but it's all incentive based. And if you're not making jumpers and if you don't get stronger, just stronger everywhere, it's going to eat you up. The contract is going to be a destination and someone else is going to take your job, because we got a lot of hungry dudes out here. For that dude to go through the mental labyrinth of, these people don't trust me, I got my shot and nothing else, the community doesn't trust me, the fans don't trust me, the organization doesn't trust me, they bench me and I'm only playing because Hero is hurt. For that dude, the weakest among them, allegedly, for that dude to wipe out Denver, shit.
All right, everybody, Mother's Day is officially around the corner. If mom's gift isn't already on the way, you've got hours, maybe even minutes, to get it together. So head over to 1-800-Flowers.com right this second. 1-800-Flowers still has great last-minute deals on handmade bouquets, sweet treats, gourmet food, and one-of-a-kind gifts ordered easily and delivered fresh. You want to get mom something that shows your appreciation for all that she's done? We know you've been a knucklehead. She knows you've been a knucklehead. Please do better. Help your mom feel appreciated this Mother's Day. This is your last chance to lock in these Mother's Day deals. Only good while supplies last. Order today at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan, D-A-N. That's 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan.
Don Libertard.
If all the raindrops were lemon drops and gumdrops, oh, what a rain that would be.
Stugatz.
Standing outside with my mouth open wide. Ah, 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 ah. If all the raindrops were lemon drops and gumdrops, oh, what a rain that would be.
This is the Don Libertard Show with the Stugatz.
Ballard takes back, leads the rush, over the line down the right side, finds it in the high slot, Stillman shot, rebound, and shoot, they score! Get in my belly! Zendik again, fires another shot, open net, Stillman scores! Do you mind if we dance with your dates? Stillman puts it right out in front, turn rock shot by Frolik, he shoots, he scores! I had coffee with McCauley a half an hour ago! Into the high slot, Peltonen, he scores! A one-timer by Billy Peltonen! I'll have what he's having! Peltonen down the right side on Ranger. He's got a seam, finds Bomeister, throws it out in front, and a shot there, they shoot, they score! I'm your Huckleberry!
All of these movie references, 15 years old or more, totally random. Roy is smiling back there the entire time. I think that was when Harry met Sally. I think he was supposed to say, I'll have what she's having. He just made it he, because Randy Moeller couldn't be controlled. And he got a lot of these wrong. He'll be on with us tomorrow. But right now, is that Mike Ryan?
The belch, I believe.
Okay, all right. I'm getting a little annoyed with what's happening here. Mike Ryan, on behalf of Metal Arc Media, is in Vegas covering the Panthers.
The last time we saw him, he had a shirt on.
He did have a shirt on, but now he's gone robe. Is that what is that robe? What, the bathrobe is what hotel are you staying in right now with poor lighting behind you?
A very expensive one.
Okay, excellent work so far from out there. Amin will join us. From wherever it is that he is in Denver. Billy, why are you looking that way?
Well, the kidnapper seemed to have set up a microphone with a mic flag.
It's a poorly executed bit. Did he think to himself on the flight over there, I've got this whole thing planned out, and then forgot what the details were because he went gambling and drank too much? Because I know that Mike Ryan is hitting those casinos. Like
I came up with a great bit. I was like, John, here's a great idea. I disappear on you, and I convinced him that it was a bit when really all I wanted to do was just gamble. Mm-hmm.
Yes, I know. Yeah. Yes.
It's a great bit.
Let's
pretend like I get kidnapped and you don't see me for the rest of the day.
How are the craps tables doing? How are they treating you?
Not great. Not great.
You know, I will say this of the hockey Panther run, 8 straight playoff games. I really did feel on the last one in Vegas, you lose 5-2, you're close, the third period falls apart on you, the way you clap at the end of a good craps run. Like, yes, yes.
Good that's job. Right. Like, good
you know
job.
What?
Good
of course,
got a shorty.
We'll be back.
Of course, I wanted it to roll forever. I never wanted to lose a road playoff game again. But good roll, hell of a
next?
Roll.
Who's going next? Yeah, you got this.
Mike, are you on pills?
Some, but not more than usual.
Has anyone commented on your nice hat?
I get that a lot. I get that a lot.
Shopped out the great.
How are you doing, Bubba?
I don't know who you're talking to. You're in your hotel.
I'm talking to you.
Well, we're happy here because your heat that you have gone back and forth on. That was a bit of an improbable one. I think most people probably expected them to come down 2-0, but I don't think you're in the condition to cover either teams right now.
Oh, no, it was great. I was very cocky. There's a lot of, I guess it's proximity. There's a lot of Nuggets fans here in Vegas, not a lot of Heat fans. And I went to a sports bar after the craps tables, and I was surrounded by Nuggets fans, and I was the biggest Duncan Robinson supporter you've ever met. I loved that fourth quarter. I love this team, and they needed to steal one on the road for this to all be possible. And they're going to win the championship. I've never been more sure of anything in my entire life, and I can't explain it. And I'll just attribute it to coaching and culture.
Shit.
It makes no sense.
I feel so bad for Mike Schur because he's never been more right. And usually when you've never been more right, that's supposed to feel good. But it's a nightmare. It's a nightmare for him. At the end of last night, all I get from him is I hate this team so much. And, Stugatz, it's been beaten out of the Celtics because listen to this Bill Simmons sound here. I did not think that I would ever live long enough to hear this.
At some point, you can't stop what God wants to happen. And it just seems like God is like, I like this Heat team. I'm just enjoying this.
That's the highest compliment that you can give. Yeah, like, I mean, God, it's God's team. The Heat are God's team. That's what's happened to the Celtics fan.
He told me that in the woods. I should have told you guys. I forgot, though.
God's team.
Don't say anything the rest of the show. You're not going to top perfect. That. Yeah, just go. Take the chain. Go home. You're good.
Like the
this is a good day for you.
Jeremy, you were looking to say something there as the Heat Homer journalist.
I was just thinking of Mike Schur and how being so right about a basketball take and having it be for your worst possible enemy seems like the type of torture he would have written up for The Bad Place in his own show.
Do you, do the people listening to this understand that no commentator anywhere on earth has been more correct about the magic toolbox of dark arts the Heat have than Mike Schur? And he's gotten to enjoy exactly none of it because at every haunting step, he's the guy in the haunted house who's been yelling, there's a killer coming. You guys know the killer is coming. And here's the funny thing. In the last game, they were looking for the killer of Jimmy Butler. Didn't even need him this time. This time it's Gabe Vincent because none of this makes any sense. It's crazy town.
If we would have listened to one of his breakdowns from back in February, it would sound like he was breaking down last night's game. Like all the things he was saying were exactly right.
40-14 run, and yet the Heat still find themselves in the game late in the fourth quarter.
Zombies.
Who could score 41 points?
Zombies
at home.
Is what he's called them. It's because it's get some free throws, make some threes, don't turn the ball over. The other team will figure out how to screw it up.
I like this Heat team.
God also likes this Heat team. Where were you, Mike? You were sober when you were watching this? Amin is in Denver looking for the Jokic brothers. You were not. He'll be next. No. He will join us next. You were not sober.
No, not at all. I haven't been sober since I landed. I love Las Vegas. Every Stanley Cup should be in Las Vegas. This is an incredible town, and I'm having the time of my life.
Put it on the poll. Should every Stanley Cup be in Las Vegas at Lebatard Show? Billy, you want to give Mike some of your thoughts on the overly ornate Vegas show that you just want your hockey stunningly and no more Renaissance Fair, no more jousting, no more medieval times?
Well, Mike, you know me. I'm a big puck guy, as are you. And we were saying, hey, when it's time to drop the puck, let's drop the puck. No jousting, no sword fighting, no ascending into the rafters with LED lights. Let's play some hockey.
I loved it. That's usually right up your alley, but I know you're a pure hockey fan, so
yeah.
Original pomp and circumstance.
Yeah.
It probably falls the wrong way, but they had Michael Buffer.
Can
all
you
of
name
it
the
looked
six?
Really cool, I thought. I'm excited to experience that today if I can get a ticket.
Let's do that test.
The original
six. Don't let him go to the computer. Get him off the computer. Get him off the computer.
Close that laptop.
Let's see what you got here. You might be able to do this.
I'm not on trial here.
I asked the question, Billy.
You are.
What a betrayal, Mike Stugatz. You're not on trial.
Jeez. I mean, good luck telling a joke the rest of the show, Stugatz.
Jeez.
Wow.
That was rude.
Jesus. That was excessive. That was cutting. Good luck telling.
The Bruins?
Name the six.
The Bruins? The Canucks?
No.
The Hartford Whalers?
Not
the
Canucks.
No.
Oh, yeah.
The Mighty Ducks?
I don't know if he's right or not.
Nope. The Penguins?
No.
Duncan gave Jokic the stink face. Duncan Robinson. Mike, you've been hard on Duncan Robinson. So hard. Yeah. And I don't know if you've seen some of these numbers, Stugatz, because it's a little bit crazy that the one bailing them out last night was Duncan Robinson, who admittedly, I think, would not be playing at all. Wouldn't be playing at all if other people hadn't gotten injured. When you look at some of these numbers of what's happening in the fourth quarter, this is also from John Schumann. Heat point differential through 20 playoff games. And keep in mind, the first 10 Jimmy Butler games, a lot different than the last eight. They have not gotten prime Jimmy Butler. Jimmy Butler has looked more like what Jimmy Butler always looks like than what he looked like in the first 10 games, which is playoff Jimmy. Heat point differential through 20 playoff games. First quarter, minus 1. Second quarter, minus 11. Third quarter, minus 12. Fourth quarter, plus 90. Fourth quarter, plus 90. Stugatz, the Heat have played a record 44 games this year, decided by 5 or fewer points. The entire game plan is just play it until the fourth quarter. Free throws, threes, free throws, threes. Let's set up the defense. Bam, can you bail us out? Now, it's going to be harder against this human being because it's the best player on the planet, and he's going to adjust. You think Jimmy adjusted one game to the next with the Celtics where stop pump fakes? Jokic is better than Jimmy, period. He's a better basketball player than Jimmy, and he's going to be in this series, but it's 1-1. And they somehow stole a game in Denver when Denver hadn't lost at home since March, and Miami hadn't won there in 7 bleeping years.
How crazy is it that the Heat won in Game 7 against the Celtics and won last night with regular season Jimmy? Like, everyone's talking about how this Heat team is just all Jimmy.
No, it's
but
not.
That's part of it, that. Right?
I know he's still doing, he's still defending. I don't want to dismiss. He's contributing in a lot of ways, but he hasn't been the playoff Jimmy the last few games.
It's not regular season Jimmy. Regular season Jimmy was efficient. 7-for-19 on the road. You should lose every playoff game against the MVP. Like, the fact that they won that game with Gabe Vincent and Duncan Robinson carrying them as Jokic goes for 40.
He's 13-33 for the series. Like, he hasn't been great. He hasn't been the Jimmy Butler in the playoffs that we've become accustomed to, and I can't believe I'm saying that.
Jimmy Butler.
But they're getting it from Gabe Vincent, and they're getting it from other places, and that's the beauty of this team.
This season, Jimmy Butler was the most efficient version of Jimmy Butler there has ever been. That's not even that. That's not 33% Jimmy Butler. They can't overcome that, I would say, but 1-1 after two games because why? Dark arts. Why? Because sorcery.
Darts.
Because Santeria. Because they sacrificed a baby giraffe somewhere.
And because of God.
And God likes them as well, mm-hmm. which is a decided advantage. Mm-hmm. I think it's better than
like
all the others.
Team. I'm just enjoying this.
It's God talking.
I like this Heat team.
It's good to have God on your team.
Just enjoying this.
Mike, go see God tonight at whatever nightclub you're going to. Thank you, sir. Good. What? Really? Really? Did you just do cocaine?
Hey, listeners, it's Mike Ryan, and I've changed a lot over the course of 20 years that you've known me. I've gone from unlikable to, well, my hair has changed. But my point is, while a lot's changed over our relationship, there's one thing that hasn't changed one bit, and that's a great taste of Miller Lite. Another thing that hasn't changed is that it's less filling. So what's the best thing about the original light beer? Miller Lite has sparked this debate way back in 1975, and we still haven't settled it. They keep it simple. It's got undebatable quality, great taste, 96 calories, you know all those things. It's a beer that strips everything away that you don't need and holds on to what matters most. But with Miller Lite, you don't have to choose what's best. Miller Lite has great taste and is less filling. It's both those things. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Don Lebatard.
Amino Hassan.
Stugatz.
Amino Hassan.
This is the Don Lebatard Show with the Stugatz.
Here's Horton over the line, waits, leaves it there for Booth. Wrist shot, shoots, he scores! Wilson! Into the high slot, here comes Bovister, shoots, he scores! Kelly Clarkson! Sednik takes a hard hit in behind the goal, forced to the far side. He's on his backhand, puts it back to the point. The Ballard, a shot. He scores! Ballard from a one-timer. Mike Carr just hit a water buffalo. Bomeister, backhand pass over in the far side. Weiss shoots. He scores! We've got ourselves a bleeder. Frolik picks it up right out in front. They shoot. They score. Michael Frolik, what a turnaround shot. Got in behind Baron. Hey, welcome to Con Air. The Panthers have a 2-1 lead.
Stugatz, one of the things that I love about the pace of hockey, which is an insanity, is it goes Montour to Tkachuk to Cousins and two shots, open net, and he gets hit with a stick in the face. No time for replay. Gotta go the other way with the puck. We'll get back to it when we can, if there's a stop in the action, if someone's bleeding. But no time to watch what, you know, the puck was flying over the net. The net was empty. Cousins is holding his face. What the hell just happened on my television? The puck's going the other way. We'll get to a replay in 90 seconds. It all goes too fast. And then my dog's barking and scared in the corner and quivering. Amin is in Denver, Stugatz.
Yep.
He is looking for the Jokic brothers. And,
dangerous game.
And he was there last night doing the post-game show with Tom Haberstroh. If you want an excellent X's and O's breakdown, that's also fun, but we'll tell you a little bit better what it is that you're seeing out there. These are not untrained eyes. Amin, I would say, and Tom Haberstroh are doing a kind of coverage that is not what Spo hit Ramona Shelburne with yesterday. I want to play this sound for Amin real quick to get his thoughts on this. Everyone knows that Ramona Shelburne is deeply qualified, knows what she's watching, is an expert, but we are not as expert as Spo. No one is as expert as Spo, and he bared his teeth last night in a question from Ramona Shelburne.
Hey, Coach. Ramona Shelburne, ESPN. This is probably oversimplifying things, but sometimes when teams play against Jokic, you turn him into a scorer, you turn him into a passer, and he controls the game. He only had 4 assists tonight.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. You know, it's just, that's the untrained eye that says something like that. This guy's an incredible player. You know, twice in 2 seasons, he's been the best player on this planet. You can't just say, oh, make him a score. That's not how they play. They have so many different actions that just get you compromised. We have to focus on what we do. You know, we try to do things the hard way, and he requires you to do many things the hard way. He has our full respect. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Coach.
Amin, what are your thoughts there? You're smirking. You're laughing. What are your thoughts?
I thought Spo was just being combative, you know, whether you don't like the phrasing, the way the terminology that Ramona used, I think we all understood what she meant. And what she meant was game one, Dan, the Heat game plan was we're sending help to Jokic every single time. We're either doubling hard or we're shading someone over. And I was surprised that they came out with that strategy, and I was surprised that they lasted that long playing that strategy. They kept doing it, and he kept killing them every single time because, much like the Miami Heat, Nikola Jokic doesn't make mistakes. He makes the right decision over and over and over again. It doesn't matter where you're sending double from. Doesn't matter how unexpected it is. Oh, this time it's from the nail. This time it's from the baseline. He sees it all. He's 7 feet tall, and he sees it all. And so game two, what we saw was a lot more single coverage, one-on-one coverage, no help on them. And especially when they went to that zone in the second half, we saw, it doesn't matter who's on him. Gabe Vincent was on him one time. The idea here was like, if he scores, we'll live with that. He scored 41. They lived with it. But what happened was they made it a decision that we're going to smother everyone else, particularly Jamal Murray. We're not going to let him get off. So I don't think Ramona's question was out of line. It sounds like Spo is just bristling at calling, turning someone into this. But come on, man, you knew what she meant.
You were saying after game one immediately, don't double him, and that doesn't work. And I would also say, don't do the zone against him. That doesn't work. Because I would say, don't do anything against him because nothing works.
What works is allowing him to score 40-plus points because the Nuggets are 0-3 when he does
so. If you play perfectly And the other two times it happened was Phoenix at home, Stugatz. It was Durant.
I was at that game.
It was Durant. What's the point of that? It was Durant.
No, I mean,
hit him.
It was Durant. Look at me. You're at all the games. That's what you do as a job. We understand. You're going to be part of the post game here after every game because
that was a weird one. I was there.
We're paying you to do that. That's correct. You were there. That's correct.
I just meant in the sense that I was at that game. I remember him having that 50-point triple-double, and I remember walking away saying, wow, the Suns said none of you other guys are going to get off. We're going to make sure that if anybody beats us, it's going to be Jokic through sheer volume. And he tried. He almost did, but it's just – it's hard. That's not what they're used to doing.
It is really fun and ridiculous to see this ocean liner moving through the paint and the ball is in his ash crack and then it's rolling around on the rim and no one can do anything and Bam is stuck in his navel and it's just watching a cement mixer, no turnover cement mixer, just rolling through the paint and then flipping it up from an awkward angle and it's absurd. All of it's absurd. That shouldn't lose. It should never lose.
Dan, I'm telling you, last night, there was like a string of like six or seven possessions in a row where I'm sitting there and I'm kind of doing a mini play-by-play and Taylor's sitting next to me and the other media members and the Nuggets are going into two-man action between Jokic and Murray and the Heat are guarding them. I think it was Bam and Caleb. And I'm saying, good switch, good recovery, good peel. And then he does that. And I say it as I know, as soon as Jokic touches the ball, the shot's going up and it's going in. And he hits it every single time. He had an assist last night where, the Heat defended perfectly. And then they threw the ball to Jokic and it was just a touch pass to cutting Michael Porter Jr., I believe, on the baseline.
Yeah.
I mean, when I tell you this dude offensively, might be the most perfect basketball player I've ever seen in the sense that he does it all and he makes the right decision every single time. I'm still staggered that the Heat not only won a game against this guy playing that well, but also they won it because Duncan Robinson was the nuts in the house. Duncan Robinson was the guy who was talking trash to the crowd and spurred this huge comeback and fueled this win. I'm beside myself.
Amin, if you're the Heat, do you come out with that same defensive philosophy in game three? And if you're the Nuggets, what do you do to fix it?
I think if you're the Heat, the smart thing is not to come out with the same thing again, right? Because you don't want to let Denver get acclimated and accustomed, even though they probably did. They've got a bunch of tape now. They're going to look at it. If you're Denver, the biggest thing has to be, how do we get Jamal Murray going? How do we give him freedom of motion? And most importantly, how do we get him and Jokic in a two-man game where he can get it going? Because that's got to be important for them. I think all those other guys, KCP, Michael Porter Jr., Aaron Gordon, they kind of feast off of whatever actions that Jokic and Murray can create. Clearly, Jokic can do whatever he wants on the floor. How do we get Murray going if I'm the Denver Nuggets?
Let me play some sound for you of Michael Malone here, the Denver coach. Let's listen to this.
Why do you think your starters that weren't Joker struggled scoring, I guess?
Well, I don't think that's the biggest question. Now, let's talk about effort. I mean, this is the NBA Finals, and we're talking about effort. That's a huge concern of mine. You know, and you guys probably thought I was just making up some storyline after game one when I said we didn't play well. We didn't play well. And tonight, you know, that the starting lineup to start the game is 10-2 Miami. Start the third quarter. They scored 11 points in 2 minutes and 10 seconds. And we just got, you know, we had guys out there that were just whether feeling sorry for themselves or not making shots or thinking they can just turn it on or off. This is not the preseason. This is not the regular season. It's not round. This is the NBA Finals. And that, to me, is really, really perplexing, disappointing. And I asked the team. I asked our players, you guys tell me why we lost. And they knew the answer. Miami came in here and outworked us. And we were, by far, our least disciplined game of these 16 or 17 playoff games, whatever it is now. So many breakdowns. And they exploited every one of those breakdowns and scored. So if we're going to try to go down there and regain control of this series and get home court advantage back, we're going to have to outwork Miami, which we didn't do tonight, and our discipline is going to have to be off the charts.
Amin, what are your thoughts there?
I mean, I think Coach Malone's right. Obviously, he says it with a little pizzazz because that's how he coaches. That's how he gets through to his guys. But he's right. They had a bunch of breakdowns. But the one thing I would say is, Coach, that happened in game one, too. The Heat had 16 wide open threes. They just didn't make them.
That was pizzazz. We saw tonight.
Well, I mean, like, just the idea like, of, but the idea of saying, oh, we didn't play with effort. Like, that's headlines now. Every show is like, oh, my God, Coach Malone criticizes effort. That's pizzazz, man, because it, typically the way coaches speak are like, well, we just got to play a little harder. We got to pay attention to detail. They don't say the word effort. We didn't play with effort in the NBA Finals. That's kind of – that could be construed as a little bit on the embarrassing side. But the reality is he has that relationship with them, and he can coach them in that way. But also, again, I would say Coach Malone – you guys had the same breakdowns in game one. The big difference is they made the shots this time.
I mean, 30 seconds or less, please. Are you with me on the idea that the reason Malone didn't call timeout is because he doesn't want Spo to have time to set a half-court defense? And he's like, I'll trust Jamal Murray to see if he can get down there and get him to panic a little bit in a situation that isn't a set defense against our team.
No, it's not even a guess. He actually said that after the game. He said, we had so much problems with the Heat defense. We didn't want them set up coming out of a timeout. We had the ball in Jamal's hands, who we would want the ball in his hands anyway in those kind of situations. And he got a great look, and he missed, and we live with that. So that's exactly the philosophy there, because he doesn't typically do that, Dan. I asked a bunch of Denver people who watch him all the time, Jenna Garcia. I said, is Malone like a guy who just lets them go? I was like, no, he usually calls a timeout in that situation.
Thank you, sir. We'll get back to you on the Jokic brothers.
Oh, yeah.
All right, everybody, Mother's Day is officially around the corner. If mom's gift isn't already on the way, you've got hours, maybe even minutes, to get it together. So head over to 1-800-Flowers.com right this second. 1-800-Flowers still has great last-minute deals on handmade bouquets, sweet treats, gourmet food, and one-of-a-kind gifts ordered easily and delivered fresh. You want to get mom something that shows your appreciation for all that she's done? We know you've been a knucklehead. She knows you've been a knucklehead. Please do better. Help your mom feel appreciated this Mother's Day. This is your last chance to lock in these Mother's Day deals. Only good while supplies last. Order today at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan, D-A-N. That's 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan.
Hey, listeners, it's Mike Ryan, and I've changed a lot over the course of 20 years that you've known me. I've gone from unlikable to, well, my hair has changed. But my point is, while a lot's changed over our relationship, there's one thing that hasn't changed one bit. And that's a great taste of Miller Lite. Another thing that hasn't changed is that it's less filling. So what's the best thing about the original light beer? Miller Lite has sparked this debate way back in 1975, and we still haven't settled it. They keep it simple. It's got undebatable quality, great taste, 96 calories, you know all those things. It's a beer that strips everything away that you don't need and holds on to what matters most. But with Miller Lite, you don't have to choose what's best. Miller Lite has great taste and is less filling. It's both those things. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.